Welcome to the Manly Pinterest Tip Show. Pinterest Tip Show. A show designed to assist man in his quest to succeed on Pinterest. If you have interest in the content you want to share, content you want your clients to see, learn ways to grow and succeed in this unique and exciting world. One man will assist you on your journey to become a pinner and grow your presence online. Men and women can share in the success. And here to show you how
is your host.
Is your host, Jeff C. Adding testosterone, one pin at a time.
Hello, folks. Welcome to the Manly Pinterest Tips Podcast. I'm Jeff C., and you're not. I've got some cool news to share with you today on the visual marketing front. But first, have you headed over to manlypinteresttips.com and downloaded my free tackle box? It's full of some of my favorite tools that I use to create my images and to boost my productivity. Quit fishing for resources and go download my free Manly Pinterest Tips tackle box at manlypinteresttips.com. For today's show, I'm going to be sharing with you some excerpts from some reporting that I did on Michael Stelzner's morning social media marketing talk show. Michael Stelzner is the founder and president of Social Media Examiner and produces a weekly live show on Huzzah and Facebook Live where the team shares breaking social media news over the past week. This is a show you need to watch, and you can sign up to watch the live show and ask your questions at huzza.io/Mike-Stelzner. That's huzza.io/Mike-Stelzner. I'm very blessed to be a part of the Social Media Examiner team and always enjoy when I'm able to come on the show and talk about visual marketing news. In this first section, we discuss an article interview with the president of Pinterest and what that means not just to Pinterest, but to social media in general. I think you'll find it interesting, so let's take a listen.
We've got a bunch of talking to do about Pinterest. Jeff actually does our Pinterest and actually does our Instagram. There he is. Welcome, Jeff.
Good morning.
Welcome. Hey. How are you guys?
Good.
How are you?
Good. It came up twice for me to get in. That's kind of
weird. That's why I had to close out the window that all said, right, cool. Jeff C. declined to broadcast.
Yeah. I saw who I was with. I was like, I thought it was going to be Mike. What's going on?
Yeah. So your bowling shirt almost looks like it's a long kimono robe type thing.
It is actually. Yeah. So I won't stand up and I'll spare you. Great. Okay.
Please do.
No, thanks. Too much information.
So I saw this article 2 days ago, one day ago, Pinterest president, and then it had this subtitle to it, which is only one piece of this huge interview with the president of Pinterest. I forget his name. You probably know it. But he talks about so much stuff. So you're just going to have to break it all down for us because it was kind of mind-boggling in terms of where he was forecasting what they're doing in the immediate future and then where they're going past that.
Right. And so it was almost a link bait kind of clicky article with the title on it. And we'll get into that because I think it makes some great points. But first of all, one of the big news that ties into that is that Pinterest just hired, they've been doing a lot of acquisitions of companies. You know, we talked about Instapaper not too long ago that they bought that. But they just required the former head of Google Image Search is now the Pinterest head of engineering. Now, that's kind of a big deal because she's going to be responsible for scaling and ranking like 75 billion pins. She's also right in the forefront of going through what we've talked about in the past, the object detection, visual search, camera search, buyable pins, and the multi-item cart checkout. And so, you know, they're moving to a way, and we've talked about in the past where, you know, if you're at the park and I see somebody going by with a cool pair of shoes and I take a picture of it, I could go to Pinterest and search that and it would tell me, it would give me all the pins with that image in it and then I could actually buy it from there. That's the vision that they're going for and they're really, really close to doing that. So that's a big game changer. So really big that she got this lady, they acquired her because she's got tons of experience. She was 8 years at Google. Also then was at the president of search at the Chinese search engine, Baidu. I think that's right. I don't know. But anyway, very, very cool. That's one of the big acquisitions that they had recently. And that ties into what the Pinterest president said. And this is what it said in the article. It said, value of clicks to mobile sites will go away.
Yeah, and that seems so alarmist. Like, wait, are they going to send less mobile traffic? Is what you think immediately.
Yeah, and the article really goes into their video product. They, you know, we announced a couple of weeks ago that they're coming out with this new video ad platform where they're going to be able to show native video ads. And so, I mean, you can see video already in Pinterest and watch it all in Pinterest there with YouTube and Vimeo and stuff like that. But they're going to have their own player. They're going to have their own stuff. And they have, for the big players, the big media companies, they already have these video promoted ads that people can promote video ads, and they tie into their cinematic pins, which are almost like animated GIFs. When you scroll through the feed, they animate and they really draw your eye to them, and people are clicking on that, and they're part of their promoted pin strategy now. So very, very cool stuff. But the thing about this with video, he broke it down into a couple things. You know, he said the value to mobile sites will go away, and I want to kind of dive into that a little bit. Yeah. Because one, I think the Pinterest president is admitting to something that everyone else has kind of been hemming and hawing about, is that they want to keep you on the site. And I mean, that's pretty much what he's saying is, he said that the value to having somebody click over to your site, you know, if they see a pin or see an article or whatever, they want you to stay on their platform. And I think that's what we're seeing with all social media networks.
Yes.
And I think that he's the first one who's really just pretty much said, that's what we want to do. You know, that's it. And, you know, Mark Schaefer has talked about this at Social Media Marketing World and in articles and stuff. I think as marketers, we need to go into this with our eyes wide open. This is going to be inevitable. And so if we want to, you know, keep getting traffic, and it ties into what Carlos said earlier and what you guys were talking about, having the snap look like a real snap and all that stuff, is we've got to figure out how we're going to work with it being on the platform. I kind of started thinking about how I do stuff on search and Pinterest and whatever. And what happens is I'll go through the feed, you know, I'll like stuff. I may share some stuff, but if I see something that's really, really compelling, I go to my search bar and search that out. Like if I see a new product or something I want to find out about, I go to the search bar. And so I think what we're going to have to do as marketers is, yes, likes are great, you know, shares are even better, but we've got to get people to search, find out more about us, and get them to them on their site, because they're going to be really trying to get us to stay on their platform and all these social media networks.
Right. Kim, you had something you were going to say or ask. Well,
yeah. Yes. When you're saying the value of mobile clicks. So really when I read that, I was thinking the value for, like, you know, our website or my own website, the value is going to go down. But really what he's saying is that there's going to be they're not going to be sending the traffic there. So there's not going to be value on Pinterest. I was taking it as mobile at large.
What he ties into this article later, and he ties it into video. And this is what he's saying. Before, you know, Target would put a promoted pin and they promote a product or whatever, and they would click back to their website. Mm-hmm. Well, now he's saying this is going to be the way it's going to probably be in the future, is Target needs to make a video ad that has the video in it, and it explains how to do something, like how to set up a living room suite or whatever, and has kind of a DIY kind of thing. And then at the bottom of that, there'll be links to each of those products in that video where people can click on from Pinterest and buy. So he was saying, yes, it's going to be value for both. Target will have Pinterest's audience, and Pinterest will have Target's sale. And so it's going to be a win-win for both. But we've got to really start thinking our shift on how that's going to work for us as marketers, because I see, you know, even with Facebook and everything else, it's moving in that direction. And so his whole thing about video ads, that it's just going to be a win-win for both situations. And the thing with Pinterest is people go to Pinterest to buy. I like to call it as like a discovery engine for the world, because people go there to find, you know, recipes to try, things to buy for their house, something to build for their backyard. And so his point with these videos is he sees there's a big opportunity for long form videos on Pinterest. Everywhere else on Facebook and all these other, they're trying this little snackable content. And he says, there's not really a big place for that on the phone, except on Pinterest, because people are there to buy anyway. They're going to watch these long form contents content on how to make, you know, long form, you know, how to make a recipe from start to finish. And content marketers need to be starting to think about that as well. As, you know, Pinterest may be a place for some long form video content, which I thought was very, very interesting.
Go ahead, Kim.
Okay, I was going to say two things. One, you know, on Pinterest, when you're an image, you can click on different parts of the image to find what you might want to buy, correct?
Right.
Have they said anything about that same capability in video?
I believe so. I think he was alluding to that inside of the inside. And that's probably why they're making their own video player. Because, I mean, you can watch. I mean, I pin my videos to Pinterest. Sure. And you can watch yeah. natively in there. And so that's why I really think they want their own native video player, is because of that search feature. Because that way, you know, all these big brands can make these great videos, and everything in that video will be searchable and have a viable pin associated with
right.
it. And it
right.
keeps them on their platform. And so it's very, very interesting, the stuff that they're doing.
Well, you know, what I thought was interesting is, at first when I read that, that the average Joe isn't going to be able to upload the video to Pinterest. That I was like, wow. But then he goes on to say that something, what, 75-80% of all content on Pinterest does not come from its users. It's from brands.
Right.
And that's what's being repinned.
Right, exactly. So 80% of everything on Pinterest is a repin. And so those of us marketers who do put new content on Pinterest get the benefit from that. And so, you know, we've even seen it at Social Media Examiner. Pinterest now is our number two driver of social traffic behind Facebook. That's a big deal.
It's a huge deal.
And so that's what I kind of get frustrated, and some of my Pinterest friends know this. I get frustrated with marketers who just cast Pinterest aside. I'm like, why? It's traffic. And they're going there to buy. They've even found with promoted pins that brick and mortar stores get a boost, like 5x boost. Even if they're not buying it from Pinterest, they get a boost on their brick and mortar sales. And I mean, that's unheard of. And so it's not really a social platform. It's kind of a search network. So I think maybe sometimes we have a kind of trouble wrapping our minds around it. But for, you know, long-term traffic and people are there wanting to spend money, it's a great place to be.
Well, and even the long-form video thing to most people, like what I'll do is, and you were even talking about recipes, like not just having, you know, step by step, here's the recipes in the visual, or clicking through to an article that takes you to that recipe, but having someone actually walk through the making of the recipe in a native video on Pinterest. Someone's going to pin, or repin, I should say, that pin to a board, a recipe board, you know, recipes to try. Right. For themselves, and they've effectively then put your content in a place where they know it is to refer to as a resource.
Right, exactly. And they go
and
back to
content marketing 101.
And the other thing is, which is really cool, a lot of people don't think about. So let's say I see Eric pinned I had a great Star Wars shower curtain that I was selling, and I saw Eric pin it. Well, I could go to Eric's board and see all the other things that he pinned. Yeah. And know, oh, he really has this shower curtain fetish. I could pin more stuff to get Eric to buy it. And so, I mean, so there's a tons of stuff you can do for market research and all sorts of cool things that especially with viable pins that they're putting out there, and videos the same way, that you can really dive in deep and give people more of what they want, make more sales, make more conversions, all of that stuff. It's really, really exciting.
Yeah. What else did he say? Anything else that we really need to pay attention to?
Mostly, you know, I think that it was really, really interesting to me that he says they're going to make a play on long form video and not snackable content. So, which I think is good, because that gives a place for some of that stuff. You know, even those little tasty recipes that they're showing on Facebook, where they really speed up and go through how to make, you know, like, and they're really, really popular, like avocado dip or whatever. Well, this one, you could have a longer form one of that, where you could probably sit your phone or your iPad there and watch it in the kitchen, and then just think it can tie into, you know, Amazon Pantry, and you could buy those things right there. Or, you know, if I'm building something in my yard and it's Home Depot shows me how to put together a grill, and I want to buy that grill, I can do that with the buyable pins. So I just think it's genius with what they're doing. So it's very, very cool.
Awesome. Well, I have a question/comment. So, you know, I did read that article also, and he's talking about the Target example, and he's saying that, you know, if someone sees something on Pinterest, they don't want to have to go to Target to buy it. But I would argue with that because, for instance, I have a Target account. I have a Target Red card or some stupid card. And so I actually would want to, you know, buy it on Target. So do you think that that's necessarily true? That I understand from their perspective, they want to keep you on Pinterest. But do you think that from a buyer's perspective, they necessarily want to have to do the entire transaction through Pinterest?
I don't think it matters because you're still going to buy it from Target. You're still making the sale. But I see what you're saying. But I mean, I think it's going to be depending on different products. Like I know my wife would buy a dress or shoes from Pinterest without blinking an eye, you know, because she can always return it, you know. And so the same thing. So I think it'll be, I think it will be product specific. More sales will happen for different things. But but just your point right there is that's why they're getting the 5% lift on people seeing their pins on Pinterest. Is that they go, oh, I pinned that. And people, there's a Hology has a great study. They're a great, if you go to their website, they have a great new Pinterest 2006 marketing study. And they're saying how many people actually go and shop with the Pinterest app open. So they've seen stuff they've already pinned and they're going around the store going, oh, Target has this. And Target's actually tying in Pinterest to some of their shelving and signage and all sorts of things. So I just see the correlation there.
Do you see Pinterest becoming more like Amazon where you can go and you can add a bunch of different items you find on Pinterest to a cart and check out that way? Do you see that happening?
Speculation. I think so. I mean, they have that cart where you can move from offline to online and move back and forth between things. And so the cool thing for marketers is they did turn on affiliate links again. So if you are promoting something, you can get a cut of that sale. So Pinterest does now allow affiliate links, which they had turned off last year. So it's kind of a fun thing to play with. I mean, I've gotten a couple sales from like books I pinned to my audience on Pinterest from Amazon. So
it works.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, awesome. That's interesting. I hadn't really thought about that.
Yeah. Well, Jeff, very cool. Thank you so much for sharing all of this insight with us and what's going on with Pinterest.
So what do you think? Does this worry you as a marketer that these platforms are implementing strategies to keep you on that platform and not back to your site? I'd love to know your thoughts. Drop me a line at jeff@manlypinteresttips.com and let me know what you think. For this next section, we dive into a ton of changes and updates that Instagram recently released. Instagram has seen an explosion of growth for marketers and businesses, and Michael Stelzner raises some interesting discussion points during this segment. So let's jump right in.
All right, Jeff C., welcome to the show. How you doing, bro?
Good. Thanks for having me on again. I appreciate it.
Excellent. So, Jeff, your volume is just a little low. If you have any way of bumping up your volume, that would be awesome.
Is it better now?
Yeah, much better. That's okay, a little high. Perfect. So tell us, what's the news with Instagram, man?
Yeah, they just released something, some big news that they have over 500,000 advertisers. That is huge. And so in six...
Wow.
Yeah.
Wasn't it just 250,000, Kim, like 2 months ago or something like that? Doesn't it seem like it?
It's like doubled.
Yeah, in 6 months. It doubled in 6 months, which is amazing. And so since this ad thing has launched since last September, there have been 1 billion actions taken on Instagram ads, which is really kind of mind-boggling. And some of the stats they released in this news update as well, is like 50% of Instagrammers follow a business, which I really thought was high. I didn't expect that because, you know, when they did roll out ads, there was a, you know, big backlash and everybody was like, oh gosh, what are we doing? We have ads. It's going to take over my feed. But people are actually following businesses, which is great news, I think, for marketers.
Interesting. And I also read this quote from, I believe, Instagram's blog that says, or maybe this is just a note in here, that 1.5 million businesses have converted to a profile page already.
Yeah.
Which I think is kind of interesting. So what's kind of the word on the street about ads from Instagram users? I mean, obviously they're acting on these ads, but is there still resistance going on in the Instagram community, in your opinion, about whether or not ads are acceptable on the platform?
I think they're going to be diehard users that'll always hate them. The way they do them, I don't think they're horrible. I mean, you can scroll real fast through the feed, which people do anyway. And so when you see an ad and it doesn't really appeal to you, you just keep on going. And the same way you do with pictures. But personally, I find a lot of cool apps that I may try for our Instagram account or something like that from ads on Instagram. So I think they're the way they're doing it. And I also think marketers wouldn't be using it if they weren't getting a good ROI on it. So they're saying that 75% of Instagrammers take an action after being inspired by a post. And they're even saying there's a 2% lift in offline sales, which is kind of crazy. But so I think that the, and they're rolling out some cool new stuff with ads we're going to talk about later, but the tie-in with Facebook, I think, is huge. I think advertisers and they feel comfortable with Facebook. There's a lot of similarities between, you know, rolling out ads on Instagram. It's really easy on Facebook when you're in the manager just to roll it out to Instagram as well. So I think there's a lot of familiarity and people are really using that to their advantage.
Well, with half a million advertisers serving up a billion actions, that's, I did some quick math, that's 2,000 actions per advertiser on average. The challenge here is that we are going to get to an age where it's going to be very expensive to advertise on Instagram because you're competing against a lot of other advertisers that have a lot of money. So this may be something to note. You know, if there's a land rush right now, then there's a premium right now, and that premium may only go up. So it'll be interesting to see where that goes. Let's go ahead, Kim. I think you've got a screen share. So, Jeff, let's talk about the next piece of news, why Kim switches over to screen share.
So it's the save as draft. So what this means is, say you take a picture and in the middle of posting on Instagram when you get a phone call, or your boss walks in wondering, or more, even more important, you're starving and you just want to eat the food that you just took a picture of. Well, now you can save as draft and dive right into it. So it's very, very cool. It's a new feature. They had tested it. Eric actually had access to it before I did, and he was one of the beta testers. And it just rolled out, I think, last week, and now everyone should have it. So what it allows you to do is you take a picture or upload an image, and you can actually back out of it and save that as a draft. And Kim's showing there on the screen what that looks like.
How did it used to work? Would you just lose it or something?
You would just lose it. Now it will give you this option if you do anything to the picture. So if you actually put a filter on it, or let's say you don't have a filter on it and you go and you add a caption or a location, then you have the option when you back up, you hit that that up the top left, that arrow back, you have the option and this screen will come up to say save as draft. And so it's very, very helpful for workflow because it does, you know, you get up interrupted by life and you would lose if you had a filter that you really were crafting or something and something came up and you didn't save it, it would be gone.
Well, let me ask this. Is this a way that people can essentially save this and publish it later kind of a thing? You understand where I'm going with this?
Yeah, it's not really a scheduler per se, but you can save stuff to, and try it for later. I actually went to test because I wanted to see how many I could do, and I saved up to 10 drafts, no problem. You only see, it shows up, you have your library, when you click on the camera button when you want to share something from your library, it shows up like above the top of that, and so there's four spots, but you can save up to 10. So right there, at the bottom of your screen, on the bottom right, there's a little manage little text. And if you click on that, and they didn't even say it in their help file or anything, but if you click on that, you can actually go into another screen where you'll see all your drafts and you can actually delete them or you can share them right from that screen as well. So it's a very, very helpful feature.
Very cool. So I would imagine, folks, if you don't have it yet, you just have to update the app, right? I mean, do we know if it's for all operating systems, if it's iOS and Android? Have you heard about that or no?
I from the press release, it sounded like they were rolling it out to everyone. And so I just updated my app and I had it.
Sweet. All right. Instagram is also making its ads more visible. Kim, let's go to that next tab. And by the way, keep those other tabs open just in case we ever decide to come back to them. So let's talk about this. What's the deal here? What are they? And by the way, keep plussing that thing up a little bit, Kim, just so we can see it a little bigger. There you go.
Yeah. So they did an eye tracking study and they redesigned the ad buttons to be more visible. They said, you know, that little like learn more you see on the screen right now, when they had it before, it didn't really catch the eye. So the redesign, they said, has been successful and they've increased the performance more than 45%. So it's really, really cool. But they've even added more features to drive traffic to these link ads is what they call them. So now if you hover over them for like 4 seconds or tap on the profile name, it'll show up blue like you just saw right there.
go back up and keep it there for a second.
Yeah.
So this is the key right here. I mean, like, who's going to hover over something for 4 seconds is my first reaction, right?
Well, if it's an image that catches your attention, then it's really cool. You know, everybody hates pop-ups, and you know, and you kind of thought, oh, this is going to be kind of like a pop-up, but it really just is enough to
we see you like this ad, therefore we're going to highlight the learn more to essentially give the 500,000 advertisers more of an opportunity to get that click that they want. Right.
Right.
But it's not there unless you interact with it, which I think is kind of intriguing.
Right. Well, it pops if you hover it for 4 seconds, like you pause. It's not right. Even you click on it, but if you pause
to look at the image, I see.
Yeah. Then it highlights in blue, so it does kind of catch your eye. Now they have actually added a couple more things for advertisers too. So, like when you click on the advertiser's profile from an ad, so on this one I can't on Jasper's Market. If I would go up there and click on their icon to see their profile, well, what would happen also is. If they had a business account, it would have that contact button for sure. But also, it would have this little learn more that Kim's scrolling to right now, which would take them right to the website too. So there'd be two places, one at the top, one at the bottom, for people to actually click through to your ad click through to your website or your product or whatever. So it's very, very cool.
Well, also, wait, Kim, go back up a little bit. It looks like that comment, it looks like it's put a little blurb into a comment up at the top. Is that correct? Is that part of a comment or is that just the text from the ad or something?
Let me see. That's just I think it's their text from the ad is what it is.
Okay.
But if you look at that, learn more underneath it, they've also implemented. So it says go to jaspersmarket.com. Well, they're also allowing that wasn't there before. So like here it says learn more and it has jaspersmarket.com. That is also a new feature. They say that if they detect additional information from an ad like price, a destination URL like here on Jasper's Market, or an app store rating, they'll automatically add it to the call to action button. So that's a cool feature that they've just implemented as well.
Do we know if this is available for everyone?
It is, except there's one more that's coming out. It says, and this is kind of cool, for video link ads, when people unmute a video, that means they're clicking on it to listen to the sound, they'll be taken to a destination URL while the video continues to play at the top of the screen. So here's an example here. So on the left, you'll see that there's that's the video ad. If you click on it, it goes to the thing on the right where it actually has the page you're going to, but the video keeps playing on the top. For me, that has not rolled out. I went through all the video ads I could find in my stream today, clicked on them.
It shows the video, but it loads the URL
page. Kind of below. Right. And so you can continue.
That's kind of awkward. I don't know if I would want that, right? Because like if I want them to click, I wouldn't want it to be in that little tiny part down below, right?
I think what they want to happen is because you've already unmuted to hear the video. When you click on it, the video continues to play. They think, okay, you've wanted to watch this video, but we're also going to take you to the URL that you clicked on as well. That's, I think, what their thing.
Jeff, can you respond? Yeah. Bonnie Frank is asking, are you sure it's 4 seconds? Doesn't that seem long? I mean, that's my reaction. That seems like a while, 4 seconds.
To hover over it for the extra, yes, it does. But I'm thinking they did that 4 seconds because they didn't want that flashing blue light to be distracting unless you really wanted, you were interested in the ad. Now,
well, I think it's a reward for someone who is truly intrigued with it, right? There's got to be something that's stopping them, right? For that action to happen.
Right. Right. They pause to look at the image, and 4 seconds does seem a long time, but if they're, you know, and it wouldn't surprise me if they start adjusting that time. I mean, they could always make it 6 or 3 or whatever. They're going to use their metrics to figure out what's the best for advertisers.
Okay, Kim, let's go to the next tab. Keep this one open. So Instagram updates stories to let you permanently save images and videos. Talk about this. What's the big deal here?
Yeah, people are saying, oh, they're just keep copying Snapchat right in line. So now Instagram has introduced an autosave function that is applied to all of your temporary clips, which are your stories, because they go away in 24 hours. So now you can actually go in and it's not this screen, Kim. I think it's the one ahead. This is how to mute them. But what it lets you do is you can go into setting and it'll save all your stories. So every time, if I have this turned on, it will automatically save my stories that I'm uploading to my camera roll.
Yeah, I don't think it is there, Jeff. There's a split.
Okay. You see? Okay, yeah, I see. Yeah.
Can plus up that a little bit so we can see that image a little bit, right?
So you just—it's really easy to do. You can either do it in your story settings. You can go when you're uploading and go to on mine. It's on the bottom right. There's a little like three little dots. I click on that and I get to this screen where I can turn on shared stories with that little toggle. You can also do it if you go to your profile and click on your settings. And there's also a stories option where you can go in and turn on this toggle as well. So it's up to you if you want to save all your stories or not. There's another, which I think is a lot better feature that they've let you do. And now we all have friends on Instagram stories who, for some reason, God love them, and I love all of you, that they say they share like 30 stories in a row, and that's just, it's a lot. So what you can do now is you go up to your stories, you hold down on the person that you want to mute, and it doesn't delete them, but you don't see it in your autoplay anymore, and it moves it to the end of your stories list. So you can go there later and look at them and, you know, see what they've shared with stories, but it doesn't autoplay. So it's a really cool way to curate the people. So if you're, especially if you're following a lot of stories on Instagram, kind of curate who you want to see first and autoplay that way.
Well, warning to marketers, now that users can mute you, you better be careful about the frequency and the stuff that you publish, right?
Exactly. I've seen, you know, I usually don't try to share more than 4 10-second segments in a row because I've noticed from the first to the last, the drop off of people. So you want to make sure if you're sharing stories, that your content is relevant and, you know, ask a question, tries to get them to interact. Or they will mute you. So be aware of that when you're sharing your life story, that you don't share too much.
All right, Kim, let's come back to faces. Jeff, thank you so much for sharing all these updates. I mean, it's a lot of stuff obviously going on with Instagram.
One other cool thing that they have implemented that a lot of people will like is they have actually allowed you to change the text color on your when you're typing a comment on your story. You can change it. A lot of people are having to scribble to show up against the background. Now you can change the color of your text, and that's kind of a secret thing they rolled out that it's kind of new.
When you say change the color of your text, what?
So
text?
Like if I take a picture of this and say, hey, I'm on screen with Michael and Kim, and I type the URL and it's against your white background, you can't see it really. Before, you'd have to scribble like a background color to make that text pop out. Now you can actually change the color of your text, which is a feature they did not have before.
Sweet. Jeff, tell everyone where they can discover more about you and all the stuff you've got going on.
Yeah, they can always go to manlypinteresttips.com, where I'm always adding testosterone one pin at a time.
Awesome. Thank you, Jeff C., for joining us.
Thanks, everybody.
So what do you think? Is Instagram a place where you think you'll spend some more time and ad dollars? Or do you agree with Michael and think that Instagram advertising will eventually get too expensive? Drop me a line at jeff@manlypinteresttips.com and let me know. Thank you so much for listening today, and make sure to join us next week when I talk with Eric Fisher about productivity tips for social media. You don't want to miss it.
Thank you for joining Jeff on his mission to help you be successful in the Pinterest world. Would you like to take part in a live show? Be sure to join Jeff's email community at manlypinteresttips.com. Adding testosterone, one pin at a time.